Oh, that's right. How you doing this afternoon? I've got Hugh Weathers here with us this afternoon. He's the Commissioner of Agriculture. And, of course, that's a very important job because it has South Carolina has such a rich agricultural background and is really responsible for a lot of good products coming out of South Carolina. So how are you doing today, Hugh Weathers?
Doing fine. Beautiful day in Greenwood.
Yeah. So what did you happen to end up uptown today?
I happened to end up on the McCormick side of Greenwood, and I said, this can't be right. So a little phone call and turn around, and here I am.
Okay. Well, before you leave town, you will have to go through uptown because it is the beginning of our flower festival, and we have all these beautiful topiaries. They're big, and they're animals. They're elephants and giraffes.
I think I saw it. And a tiger?
A tiger, right near Clemson tiger,
yep,
right next to County Bank. Yep.
Yep, right in front of it. I saw setting up a little band, so I may have to go sing with them or something.
Yeah, they're having a live Uptown Live this afternoon. So, but yes, they're beautiful, and they're a part of our flower festival. So
good.
Yeah. So I see where you were just down on the Mexican border, down there in Texas.
I had a meeting in Austin, Texas, with a group of commissioners to talk about issues common to all of our states of agriculture. And folks were good enough to arrange a trip to McAllen to really see border security up close and personal. And you really go away impressed by watching our personnel down there balance out enforcing our laws with extending compassion to a lot of Mexican and South American children trying to come through on their own based on what someone told them at home. Just get across the river and you're home free, and certainly not the case. So, you know, we talk about immigration and reform and managing it, but to see it and watch it on the front lines, pretty, you get a better idea of what we're facing.
You know, what did you walk away there feeling about immigration?
Well, I've talked about the need for guest worker reform, being in agriculture and being responsible for helping our farmers in every way that we can. South Carolina farmers use the guest worker program that we have, the H-2A, use it very thoroughly. It is rather expensive, and it's not market-based. In other words, there is the demand for more workers, because in agriculture, to pick our peaches, to pick our hand-picked crops, we cannot find a reliable labor supply around the corner in South Carolina. And when we can't do that, we have to look for other supplies. So the point is this. Were we to have a guest worker program and it was more organized for these folks to come and take advantage of those opportunities, then the people there can concentrate on the people who are coming here to do us harm. And they told us about them, the drug smuggling, the human traffic smuggling. So if they could get that taken care of through the proper reforms and other ways, then they can focus on keeping bad people on their side of the river.
Well, part of the problem in South Carolina, if I remember correctly from the Farm Bill and whatnot last year, is the fact that we don't actually allow for enough guest workers to come into the state.
That's exactly right. As I said, it's not kept up with the market demands. The better job that I do as commissioner, that we do in marketing our products, not all crops are harvested like my brother and I do from the seed of a combine. Our peaches, our winter greens, and our watermelons and tomatoes are all hand-picked. And again, we have a demand for greater numbers of workers than we are able to get. Now, farmers are willing to work with the system. It just needs reform.
Sure.
And if you reform that, then you've gone a ways toward this immigration. And immigration and all the people here illegally is sort of totally separate from getting a guest worker program. So that's, I'm going to still push for that because I think it's my job as a commissioner to do so.
Sure. You know, but one of the things that is bothersome, we have all our own people here in South Carolina that are unemployed. And yet, if I remember correctly, I believe the guest worker program, they actually get paid more than what minimum wage is.
Correct.
And they have places to stay. Isn't that
correct.
Part of the deal? And transportation, too?
Oh, yes. You have to arrange for them from the time they leave. It's more expensive than hiring a neighbor. But in order to access the guest worker program, you have to extend the job offer in the local community and entertain anyone who comes to say, I think I want this job. So it's not the guest worker program first. It is a labor supply of almost last resort.
Just out of curiosity, would the farmers pay more than minimum wage? Because I've always heard that it's because the guest worker program, they get paid more, and people that are here in the United States would get paid minimum wage.
If a worker, no matter where they come from, does a good job harvesting agricultural products, they're going to get paid more than minimum wage. I know it from being in the dairy farm business that to have reliable labor, whenever that crop is ready, in my case milk is ready every day, you just want to invest in good labor, like any business,
absolutely.
Like your business
absolutely.
Here. So farming is no different and even more critical, especially with seasonal crops. When they're ready to go, they are no good to be picked 2 weeks late.
Sure. Well, I think to me that seems like that's one of the problems, because people, do they realize that it would be more than that? Because I remember last year there was a lot of discussion about them getting paid more than our local, we'll say local people.
Well, it's a problem for our farmers who have to pay it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it's a very expensive program, and it's another example. And I think one of the jobs of commissioner is to be that line of defense between the bureaucratic overreach, a regulatory overreach of Washington, mm-hmm. Pushing down to our states. I think all departments, state departments of agriculture like South Carolina, really, we work together to say, you know, EPA, FDA, Department of Labor, you're just going too far. In this case, Department of Labor, not to recognize that this guest worker program is needs serious updating.
Yeah, something like 50,000 people can come to South Carolina? Is that somewhere about right?
Somewhere else, there are two programs, H2A and H2B. H2B has a total of like 66,000. That's mm-hmm. where that number comes from. But I can't
sounds
remember.
Like bad luck.
I can't remember the number, but it's insufficient.
Yeah.
You know, nationwide. And another part of the message is let's import good labor mm-hmm. rather than import our food. The other part of going to the border was to go to border, to the customs inspection, mm-hmm. and watch the work that they do to make sure that the food products coming into this country are suitable for our markets and our people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have definite reservations about how food is produced in other parts of the world compared to the way we do it in South Carolina.
And what do you mean by that? Should I dare ask?
Well, just the standards. We've got a thing, another regulatory problem. Don't want to spend all day on that, but it's called the Food Safety Modernization Act.
Right.
And its original intent was to inspect food that's being imported to our country.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it on the same par, same
right.
level. But that's really sort of taken a back seat to a whole host of other things. So I tell them once again, they've passed the law of unintended consequences, but it was recognized that production practices in other parts of the world don't have the standards that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the safest food supply and at the most economical, because American agriculture is just that efficient and quality-minded. Other parts of the world I can't speak for. So all of this effort to bring it up to our speed has really not been met yet.
I see. Hey, we are here with the Commissioner of Agriculture, Hugh Weathers. When we come back, we're going to talk more about things going on in agriculture. And you're in the primary. Yes?
That I am. Damn,
yeah, you've got somebody challenging.
Just next week. Yeah.
Just next week, the 10th, Tuesday.
I heard that. That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right. Well, we'll be right back. Don't you go away. Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest, Hugh Weathers, Commissioner of Agriculture. And you have been the Commissioner of Agriculture, what, since 2004?
Yes, I came in to fill out the balance of the 2002 term. Gentleman elected then had stepped down, had some legal issues, so came in and realized that it was a job that suited what I think I was good at, it, facilitating people to work together and that type of thing. So in 2006, I decided to run, and again in 2010.
And you have, you're a dairy farmer.
I am a dairy farm owner. Yeah, when I went into Columbia, then my manager at home, he had some health issues and subsequently passed away. So we brought in a renter to use our facilities. And so we've been a dairy farm owner for the last 4 or 5 years.
And also, what, co-owner Weathers Trucking?
Yeah, we go to dairy farms with our milk tankers and pick up milk from their tanks and take it to be bottled. We go all over the state to, we come over to Saluda, Newberry, Spartanburg, down to Charleston, through Orangeburg and all. So it's, I think that's one of the things that serves me well in doing this job, that you don't have to explain a lot about farming to me. Now, some of this new organic stuff I have to learn about, but coming from farming, I think it suits me well for the
You grew
response.
Up on a farm.
Yeah.
So what do you think as far as what is happening with farming today? I know we were just talking about the branding of South Carolina agriculture products and everything. That certainly has brought farming back to the fore. And you've got so many people doing their own small farming, as we should say, tomatoes and cucumbers and that kind of stuff.
You know, you're right. We have more farmers registered in South Carolina today than we did 10 years ago. We have more acres of land being farmed, and that's a good thing, because prior to that, with development in the 80s and 90s, we lost 30% of our farmland to something else, and it's stabilized in the last decade, so that's a good thing. The biggest thing that I've seen changing is that everybody wants to know about their food and farming and who's growing it and how do they grow it. And so Certified SE Grown is a great way to connect farmers and consumers, sort of open up that line of communication between the two.
Now, what brought that about?
Well, when I came into office, not long after that, I convened a group to sort of take a strategic look at our industry. And we said, what do we need to do? And out of that came the fact that we don't talk about what's coming from South Carolina farms on a broad scale. So the Certified SE Grown grew out of that discussion. We asked the General Assembly to invest some in us, and we have done that. And one thing that I'm most proud of is that, again, it's a public and private partnership in that every dollar that we spend of public money, of tax dollars, the membership overall spends about 10 of their own dollars. So it tells me the farmers believe in what we're doing. They're willing to invest their own money. That's that's not a light consideration with farmers. So it tells us that we're recognizing that marketing, same way you market your radio station, marketing is just as important as the agronomic part of farming. You can't ever get away from the dirt or the tree or whatever you're harvesting from, a cow in my case, but that the marketing leg of that three-legged stool is just as critical.
Absolutely. So this has been a good thing. Now you have there's a website where people can go and look at the products and see the different farms.
Our website for the department is agriculture.sc.gov, or you can go to certifiedscgrown.com. And if you're in Greenwood County and you're looking for organic blueberries, you can put that in and it will direct you to somebody who is in our membership that is growing what you want, and it'll tell you how to get there. And the next thing that we did after that, we said, okay, other than that, where do we get food and where do we enjoy it? And it's our restaurants. We got great restaurants in South Carolina. So the next piece that we did to take it on up one more notch is a restaurant program called Fresh on the Menu. And what we do with that is ask a restaurant to get at least 25% of what they're selling from a South Carolina farm. And if they do that, then we in turn from the department promote them. We'll tell people where they are. We developed an iPhone app. So if somebody wants it, you go to Fresh on the Menu in the app store, and you'll literally see a map, got 300 and something restaurants across the state, and they'll tell you who's supporting farmers. And all of these things seem to be working because our fruit and vegetable income going back to farmers is on a nice increase. over the last number of years. So a lot of these things you got to take the long-term approach, but they seem to be working. More farmers, more land farmed, and the income, the revenues going back to farmers is on a upward trend.
Sure. One of the things I think, though, that is happening is the prices are going up on produce everywhere.
Well, I'll tell you why. There are a couple of things you can count on. The law of gravity. If I drop that bottle, it's going to fall to the floor. And also the law of supply and demand. Mm-hmm. And in California, we've got a tremendous four-year drought, and it is impacting the number of fields that are being farmed. So that impacts the amount of produce coming from the West Coast, which is major. In Texas, there's been an extended drought, and a lot of the beef cow herds, they didn't have the feed, didn't have the pasture, so they sent them to market two or three years ago.
Wow.
And now the beef cow herd in the United States is almost at a record low. Well, supply and demand. You know, we still want our products, but there's less of it available, so the prices will go up. Now, I think, you know, historically food prices will increase 2 to 3% per year, but this year, you know, it could be a little bit higher than that overall. So it's just producing food is not like producing tires or airplanes or cars. It is producing something. It's pulling together all the resources of soil, of water, of air, of your labor and all of this, making a finished product called food. And it can be a challenge at times.
It certainly can. And, of course, the farmers markets are a great way to be able to go and see fresh produce. We have two. We have the Uptown markets, and then we have our one out here at the Civic Center.
Yeah, I've been out there before. We've got twice the number of farmers markets in South Carolina as we had just several years ago. So it's just one more reflection that people want to engage with their farmers friends.
Sure. Well, we've got other things to talk about, but right now I need a cough break, folks. We'll be right back. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. I'm Ann Eller, and I am here with Hugh Weathers. He is the Commissioner of Agriculture, and he wants to stay the Commissioner of Agriculture, I do believe. Why do you want to stay in this position, Hugh?
Well, I'll tell you, the progress we're making and the number of people who advocate for this industry that are pulling together, let's say, really encourages me to want to stay for another 4 years, keep that progress going. Just talk about Clemson for a second. I think their emphasis on agriculture has been strengthened as of late with the new Clemson President Clements mm-hmm. coming in with some key appointments that they have made at senior positions. Says to me they want to really get back to their roots. How about that? So with all of those things, I just see that the future still holds tremendous potential.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's longer, the list of opportunities or the list of challenges. They're both long enough that I think keeping continuity at the Office of Commissioner right now is what's called for.
Well, it's one of those offices that you really don't know, what do you do?
No, that's true. No,
what
that's
do you do?
Well, if you look at it, we are the Department of Commerce for agriculture.
Okay.
We try to grow our industry under the agriculture tent. We are the Department of Consumer Affairs for your pocketbook and your food safety. We operate six laboratories, from gasoline quality to pesticide residues to seed qualities, feed for the farmers, making sure label accuracy. So we do a lot of consumer services, somewhat behind the scenes, but we have food inspections and a lot of these things. But what really I am passionate about, and I think the marketing folks in our department, is trying to find where those new opportunities are to grow our industry even more. We measured the whole impact of agribusiness 5 or 6 years ago, and that's agriculture and timber and everything that happens to farm and food products from the time they're grown to they're eating or whatever. And it is $34 billion in our economy. Now, our economy is about $160 to $70 billion. So you see how big of a part it is for agribusiness. And we said to ourselves, can we grow this thing to where it's $50 billion per year by the year 2020? And that's around the corner. So so our focus of the things we're trying to do, we call it 50 by 20. Can we grow the economy to $50 billion by 2020? And it's a steep climb, but it really has galvanized a lot of the efforts around agriculture, looking for the next farmers, looking for the next market, exports, all of these things, regulatory environment, whole host of things to make it happen. But it is why I have offered to I am running for another 4 years.
So, food labeling. That's an interesting topic. And
going to get more interesting is in the next year or two.
And why is that?
Well, agriculture, modern agriculture, has a lot of technological advances. One of them is basically accelerated grafting. You know, we all recall grafting of tree limbs and that type of thing. But genetically engineering is basically
GMOs,
taking the best of this and the best of that, varieties of corn, soybeans, wheat, and pulling them together and doing in days and weeks what used to take years. And GMOs have been in our food supply for nearly 20 years. They're in 75% of what we consume, and all of the scientific data says they're perfectly safe except for the rare occasions of some specific allergies. Now, the press, or not the press, but just the media, social media, as good as it can be for agriculture, it also brings a whole new host of people engaged in talking about agriculture. So some folks think that we need to have labeling on our food that has GMOs. And that's fine. But what I advocate for is one standard, a federal standard, let's say. I don't like federal regulations, but a federal standard for regulating products from California to Carolina in what's there, rather than what we have now are 30 states who are saying, we want our own label in Vermont, which has already passed one. We want our own label in Colorado, our own label in Oregon. Well, that's going to just cause havoc in the Food Manufacturing Association if you have to have all the different labels for the same box of Cheerios, no matter where it goes. So the labeling is the last time I was in Washington in March was there to make testimony about labeling and the costs that it will create and have to be borne by someone if we have this, take down this path for labeling.
Sure. Well, you know, there's a lot of discussion whether GMOs are actually safe to eat, whether they're good for you.
There's discussion, but that's emotional and I shouldn't say blog world, but the science behind it definitely says they're safe. But as I pointed out to my colleagues, you can't just count on science to influence people's decisions. You've got to talk to them on the level that people want to discuss things. That people have an emotional attachment to food.
Yes, we do.
Yes, we do. We love
it. That's right.
We do. It represents the safety of our children and grandchildren. So, again, the science backs up the claims or the statements that I'm making. But you've got to appeal to people on the same level that the ones who will claim that it's harmful seem to appeal to people. So you got to match that emotional appeal and knowing that the science and the technical data back up the agricultural story.
Sure. You know, one of the things that has impressed me is how many colleges or schools are getting into an ag department. I mean, we've always had Clemson, but Piedmont Tech has a small farming division and this type of thing.
Well, we need to find those next farmers, and the percentage of our population in production agriculture is somewhere around 1.5%. So my family, which I'm the fourth generation on that same, I live in a home that my great-grandfather lived in and built and farmed. But that number is so small, we've got to go out and find the young people who say, well, I think agriculture is a pretty good choice for me, even though I grew up in downtown Greenwood or Columbia, wherever. So, yeah, I'm very encouraged again about the next season of agriculture mm-hmm. and finding that next generation of farmers. They may not all be 19, 20-year-olds. They may be 40 and 50-year-olds looking at a career change.
Sure.
So that it's very exciting to see. You know, Piedmont Tech has a very good program.
That's right. And I know the 4-H department out of Abbeville is very strong. The future farmers yep. over in 96, I believe, are very strong.
We had, my wife and I had the FFA chapter from the Strom Thurmond mm-hmm. School. I think that's in Edgefield. They won a contest, and the prize was to come have dinner and a picnic with the commissioner. And I thought, well, that'd be fun. And sure enough, it was very rewarding to sit and talk to those young people about their hopes and dreams for the future around agriculture. Very impressed with the quality of the young people that are involved in the FFA programs. Now, my challenge and the challenge of agricultural leadership is to keep the best and brightest in South Carolina.
I wouldn't think that would be that hard, though, really, because people seem to want to stay in South Carolina.
We do. Well, they say if your family was here before 1960, it's a good chance they were here in 1660 or something.
There you go. There
you know,
go.
But people are moving to this state, and our state's changing. I see it, the demographics and the number of people involved. So to keep the best of South Carolina right here is a good challenge, mm-hmm. a tough challenge in some respects. So we do a program at Clemson every summer called the Commissioner's School of Agriculture. And we'll take about 40 high school juniors, I think, up there on campus for a week. And we will really show them what a career in agribusiness might look like for them, be it in producing agriculture or packaging or distribution or in forestry. So we want to show them at an early age what it might be for them, and so that they will choose an academic career in agriculture. And we've been pretty successful. We've had been at it nearly 10 years, and the acceptance rate into Clemson, which is not an easy thing, is about twice for the kids who come through the commissioner school as just the general applications.
Hmm. And can you make money? We always talk about our poor farmers.
You can make money if you work hard. How about that? And it's not just how long you work during the day, but how smart you work. You make the right investments in technology. Now it's precision agriculture, and it's sustainable agriculture in that you put as little inputs of pesticides and fertilizers in that same crop to get the same yield. Or it might be creating a niche. A good friend of mine who is an advertising executive, he has an organic blueberry farm in Orangeburg County just across the river from me. And he says, I can create a niche. I can market my product at a premium price. Nice. He has a brand. Now, I grow wheat, and I grow corn, and I grow soybeans. Those are commodities. So I've got to compete on a production cost basis. You're right. And I've got to be smart to find when I can price my crop at a good price. But for our vegetable farmers or this blueberry farmer, if you can create your own brand that people will come to that farmer's market for your squash.
A specialty market.
Or if you can work in Bilo or Publix or IGA or whoever knows that you've got a good product, they will create space for you in their system. Then you've got to meet their demands of quality and then what we call good agricultural practices. That's a whole nother set of subjects.
And this is WCRS right here in Greenwood.
You got to slow me down now, don't you?
I get you started on this. I'll give you 2 minutes to tell the people why they should vote for you on Tuesday to send you back.
All right, Miss Hamill, I appreciate that, and I appreciate you having me on. I said it earlier, the future of agriculture in South Carolina, the list of opportunities and the list of challenges are equally long. Having served South Carolina for 2 terms now, I recognize that collaboration and getting people to pull together not having too big of an ego to get in the way of getting progress to be made. I think that's what I offer to South Carolina. I have proven leadership because I've brought people together. The results seem to be showing it. I know it's a privilege to do what I do. I take none of this for granted as something that I'm entitled to. I bring the same passion for the job as I did day one several years ago. I put together a good quality staff at the Department of Agriculture who really believe in what we're doing. I think the results will prove that choosing Hugh Weathers for another 4 years is the right choice. Just because South Carolina leadership overall, from the governor's office to the congressional delegation to Commerce Department, it's a good team in place. I think I'm a good team member to help lead South Carolina. So I appreciate if folks would consider that. I do have a website, HughWeathers.com. You can go and learn about some of the things we're doing. Follow me on Facebook. My wife says if I don't get a picture on Facebook, that I wasn't there. So follow on Facebook at Hugh Weathers. And again, I think it's that leadership that I bring to the voters or to South Carolina that should be kept in place for another 4 years. So I'm asking for people to vote for me to continue what I'm doing for another 4 years.
And you will continue to weather the storm in agriculture.
The puns are endless.
Well, I know they are. Hugh Weathers, thanks so much for joining us today.
And it's been fun.
All right. This is WCRS. We're going to join the news in progress, a word from our sponsors, and I'll be back with our final interview this afternoon. Nancy Mace will be with us on the phone. So don't you go away.